Before I begin, I don't know if you've been following Pastor Mike on Facebook with his trip. I mean, it was so, I got excited just watching him and all the pictures he was posting and everything. But Pastor Mike is going to come and share with us for a few minutes about the trip.
Thank you. And it's wonderful to be back here and be able just to share very quickly with you. We went to Texas, and it was our president and leaders meeting is what we usually have. And Brother Jerry Savelle, you know, does that for the leaders, presidents of Chariots of Light. And I just want to say thank you for helping me go.
Yes.
I ended up going early because of the way the hurricanes were coming in on the day I was planning on getting out. It would have been very wet. And so I left a little early. We went. Long story short of it, in the last 3 years, Chariots of Light has won to Jesus salvations over 100,000 people.
Wow.
Documented. That's not evangelistic. That's documented people won to Jesus. And most of them over, I believe he said it was over 70,000 have been done in the last 2 years. Brother Jesse Duplantis put it on us when he preached and ministered to us and said, I believe the Lord wants you to shoot for a goal of over 1 million by the end of this next year total. And it was like it just ricocheted off of us, you know. It was like, and we were all looking at one another and going, we can do this.
Mm-hmm.
We can do this. We can do this. And there alone, the group of people that I kind of, you know, people you run with, people who have the same type spirit inside even an organization, there was over 138 people that we ministered to just in the few days we were there.
Wow.
There was over 100 of them gave their life to Jesus. There was two people who were healed. Power of God just touched their body, and you know, and these are not people who really understand healing. Just all of a sudden they're like, the pain in my leg is gone. You know, and God worked with us through this. It's wild to see a bunch after a meeting go to a restaurant or something to eat, and you can't even hardly get your order done because people are winning folks around them to Jesus, or ministering to them. You know, every word you say is a seed.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a God bless you or whatever. A lot of times we look at people who are outgoing in the work of the ministry and we think, hey, I can't do that. I'm not like that. But every one of us can plant a seed.
Yes.
Every one of us can say a kind word. Every one of us can see when somebody's going through a struggle and can say, you know what, God bless you. We love you. Every one of us. And so it was hard to even place an order. It was a phenomenal time, and there's no way I can go into that and don't want to take the time from the word. I understand that. I just want to say thank you for helping send me.
Yes.
One of Brother Jerry's key words to us was get your dream out of the closet.
Ooh. Oh.
Get your dream out of the closet. He said he was believing for an airplane was his example. And he said he had a model of it on his desk, had an easel board, had a picture of it, had what it would cost, and he was believing for it. And he said some things have happened in his life that slowed him down and caused him to have to take some breaks. And he got to thinking, you know what? I really don't need that plane anymore. And he said, I had put it in my closet. And he said one morning praying, he said the Lord spoke to him and said, get your dream out of the closet.
Mm.
I want to share to you just quickly, get your dream out of the closet. Pastor Mike, it hasn't happened like it had before. I thought it would already be here by now. Get your dream out of the closet.
Mm-hmm.
Apply your faith to it. Dr. Yes. Duplantis got up and he preached. He said, if we're not using our faith for the impossible, we're wasting it.
Oh, wow. Wow.
We're wasting it.
Yes, that is
good. When Jesus walked into places, dead people got up.
Yes, they did.
The atmosphere changed.
Yes.
And I know we like to say, I'm not Jesus, but you are.
Yes.
You are Jesus on this planet to people. And when you walk into the room, atmospheres change.
Woo.
The enemy knows who you are. That's why he fights you so hard. Realize that you have the power of God in you. Use your faith for the impossible. Get your dream out of the closet. Thank you for your support.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. I really would have loved to have just sat there and listened to the whole story. I would rather have done that this morning, almost. But this morning, we're going to talk about some things that sometimes can be controversial. I don't expect any controversy this morning, in the name of Jesus. But it's something that is so needful. And that's knowing how to freely receive and how to freely give. Because do you notice, and we'll get to the scripture there, but Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. And he was talking to his disciples. So there's a principle right there. If we are not freely receiving from the Lord, we don't have anything to freely give. So if we're one of those people that has a hard time receiving, you know, like somebody comes up and wants to bless you, you're like, oh, no, you keep that, you do that. No, when the Lord is trying to bless you, freely receive it, because then you have something in you to freely give when the Lord speaks to you and says, give. And not just talking money, we're talking everything, life, we're talking about it. But we're going to begin in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And it says, and when he called unto him his 12 disciples, and the word disciple there means a learner or a pupil, he gave them something they're going to have to receive. He gave them power, which means ability. He gave them privilege. He gave them capacity, the competency, the freedom, the mastery. He gave them delegated influence, delegated authority, the jurisdiction, the power, the right, the strength. Yep. That was what he gave. Now, they had a decision to make. Are we going to receive it? But it says, his 12 disciples, he gave them power, and it had a purpose. The Lord never gives us anything without a purpose behind it. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Yeah. Now, what, Miss Renee, what are you talking about? He told them to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Well, why should they not have been able to? He gave them the power. And, you know, and at this point, you know, I know a lot of us who think deep into the scriptures and everything, you think, but this hadn't happened and this hadn't happened, so how could they receive that power? By faith. They received the power. And it was like he had the power here, and he said, I'm giving it to you. You go deal with these unclean spirits. You go and heal the sick. It even says all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And the word heal there comes from our word, well, it comes from the Greek word therapeio, which our word therapy comes from. So he was saying, go do therapy? In a sense, yes. But there are several meanings to that word heal. It means to relieve, to cure, to heal. It also means to worship God by seeing results. Amen. That's the word heal. So when he said, you have power against unclean spirits to cast them out. Okay, a lot of us get hung up in dealing with unclean spirits. Oh, I need this out. I need deliverance. Can you cast this out of me? I have people who walk up to me and say, will you just cast this out of me? Duh. Why don't you cast it out? Now, I know we should pray for each other, and I know there is a time for that. But if Jesus gave his 12 disciples that kind of power, and he said to cast them out, that meant get it out, be done with it, and move on. Sometimes so many believers I've seen get hung up in the whole, I can't do anything because this demonic spirit keeps coming back and holding me down and everything. For one, a lot of that is flesh. And it takes a decision, a disciplined decision of our will, our spirit, to say, I choose not to act like that anymore. I choose not to fall back into that. I choose not to run around in depression. I choose that. But now, when we stand in faith, choosing we're not going that direction, and we still have struggles, and we know, okay, I'm going to need some backup here, then get a prayer partner. Get a prayer partner. Go to the Lord. Say, hey, Lord, who can help me pray? Because I think this is going a little deeper than just my decision here. But he gave them power to cast them out, be done with them, and to heal all manner of sickness and disease. Amen. Now, between verse 1 and verse 2, in my mind, something happened. I think maybe there was some time passed there, or I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if you've ever noticed that even though we read the scriptures like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da in chronological order, and this happened, this happened, this happened, sometimes there's space in between there. Sometimes you'll read a verse 1, and then all of a sudden they're over here in verse 2. Yeah. You know, sometimes there's some space. It's just the way it was translated by our translators to keep it in chronological order, because that's the way we think. But in verse 2, it says, now the names of the 12 apostles. Wait a minute. Verse 1, they were disciples, learners, pupils. By verse 2, they're apostles? Something happened in there. Something happened. Because an apostle means a delegate, a person sent or authorized, an ambassador of the gospel, a person who acts as a representative, a commissioner of Christ as a representative of his supreme authority. It means a sent one. So they became from the pupil to the sent one, from verse 1 to verse 2. That tells me something happened in there. For one, it tells me they must have received that power.
That's good.
They must have received it. That's where we get hung between verse 1 and verse 2 a lot of times. Because we hear, the Lord gives us a word, said, I'm calling you to do this, and you're going to do this, and this is going to work, and this is going to happen, and this is going, and this is going. And we're like, yes, yes, that's so great. And then we walk out, never having sealed that word within us, of saying, I receive that, Lord. If you're giving me that, I receive it in Jesus' name. I receive it. It is sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, I'm not going to try to make this happen. I'm just going to walk in obedience every day. Every day, every day, I will do my best to walk in obedience so that I walk out of verse 1 and into verse 2. And that's what we've got. We've got to learn to receive from the Lord. So now, they're apostles. Wow, they're sent ones. They couldn't have been sent if they weren't prepared. So they obviously received that power. They had been out casting out demons, and they had been healing the sick through the power that Jesus gave them. They didn't have the power in their own selves to do it. But through the power that he gave, they received, they were obedient, and then all of a sudden, they're being sent. These are the apostles. The first, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Wouldn't you like to have that title tagged behind your name? No. But do you know we do that to people? Hey, do you know so-and-so? No, I don't think so. You know, it's that one that did this, whether it be good or bad. We don't need to label people. We need to speak according to the Word of God about people, encouraging people, lifting them up so that they get out from under the bondage of labels. Labels are hazardous. And then verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth. So he's sending them out because they are the sent ones now. And he commanded them. And the word command there means to transmit a message, like causing something to pass on from one place or person to another. It means to instruct or urge someone to do something. So he was getting a message across to them when he commanded them, saying, go not. What? Wait a minute. You're supposed to be saying go, yes. And he said, go not. Sometimes the plan of the Lord is no. Sometimes when we think we've got, so I've got this vision, I'm going this way, I can do this, I'll be there, accomplished in it in 2 years. And it doesn't work. Well, why not? Because sometimes the Lord said, not yet, not that way, not that direction. Sometimes he says, I have some different directions here and you need to listen. So he says, go not. This is what he's commanding them. Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So he told them, don't go to the Gentiles, don't go to Samaria, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, if you've been attending our Wednesday night living room sessions, you know, we talked about Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek. Jesus came to win the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That was his direction first. But then something happened. A lot happened. And it became, he was here to win the world. And I know that was the ultimate plan of God, was to win the world. So he told them, start out first going to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In verse 7, and as you go, preach. What? We got to preach? It's what Pastor Mike just said. Every word is a seed. Whether it be just an encouraging word, whether it be a word from the Lord saying, hey, I believe the Lord's giving me some direction for you that you need to go this way or you need to do this for the outcome that he has spoken to you about. He's telling them, go to the lost sheep first. And that one will speak volumes, and I'm not going to get stuck there. But go to the lost sheep. Yeah. Go to the lost sheep, whether they be lost, or whether they have been with the Lord and have lost their way. Go to the lost sheep. Go to the lost sheep. But he went on to say, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Did y'all miss the rapture yesterday? Because if y'all did, I'm safe. Yeah. If y'all did, I'm safe then. Because I missed it too. You know, there was a big thing going around that yesterday was supposed to be, you know, all of this. So I was like, okay, everybody showed up this morning. I'm not missing anybody. I'm safe. Okay. But the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was then. It is now. It was then because Jesus was here. It is now because Jesus is in us. So the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it's one of the things that was said. When you walk into a room, the kingdom of heaven ought to be walking into the room too. Because wherever Jesus is, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He went on in verse 8 to tell them, and these are the apostles, they're the sent ones now. So now the command is preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Do you notice he added one this time? Well, actually, he kind of added two there. Freely you have received, freely give. What have they freely received? The power to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils. Well, those were the apostles. They were men, just like we are. The difference in them and us, they received the power that he gave. When we receive, whenever the Lord tells us to do anything, and sometimes he gets me in predicaments. Okay, sorry, Lord. I get in the predicament and he has to deal with me. But I will see someone out in public and I'll see they're hurting. And my heart immediately goes to them. I'm like, Lord, I'd love to be able to just go lay hands on them and see them totally healed right then. And he said, well, go do it. I can't do that, Lord. If the Lord is telling us to do something, he's qualifying us to do it. He is qualifying us right then to do it. So when the Lord speaks to us and says, hey, go, just go smile or go give them a hug, we're qualified to do that. And in that qualification comes results. Every time there will be results. Every time. So when the Lord speaks and says, do this, just know, I'm qualified. Jesus qualified me. I can do this. I can do this. Sometimes I go in a little shaken, this one's a big one, Lord. But I just keep trying to tell myself, okay, you told me to do this. I know you did. Okay, that means you've qualified me to do it, which means I'm not going in myself. I'm going in what you've given me. Because in myself, I'll make a big mess. But if I go in what he's given, freely receive, freely give. So, what had they received? They received power. And it was the power that meant the ability, the privilege, the capacity, competency, freedom, mastery, delegated influence, delegated authority, jurisdiction. Hey, have you ever heard people say, I can't go into that situation because that's kind of out of my... jurisdiction. So if the Lord is speaking to us to intervene in a situation, we have jurisdiction. He gave it to us. We can walk into a situation and say, no, peace. Peace. He gave that kind of power. Now, I want to talk about one of those guys, one of the 12, and that's Thomas. And everybody goes, oh, yeah, doubting Thomas. Well, let's just talk about him for a minute here. You might find yourself in here with him. Thomas was one of the original 12 disciples who became apostles. He was right there when Jesus gave the power. He received that same power that the other 11 did. Now think about that. Who was one of the other 11? Judas. I was thinking, I was going down the list. Judas was also there. It said he also received that same power. Now, there's a whole sermon right there. How many people do we know who got saved, came into the church on fire, just going to take the world by storm, you know, God's giving it just all this, you know, and time goes on and things happen. Sometimes tragedy happens, sometimes the wrong people happen, and, you know, and all of a sudden they disappear. And then all of a sudden they're going in the opposite direction, causing problems, even though they received in the very beginning what Jesus was giving to them. You know, it's our choice to hang on to what we receive. Because the enemy will come to steal, kill, and destroy. I got it in there. We have to make a decision. No, God gave me this. I'm hanging on to it. The devil cannot take it from me. And when we stand like that, we gain strength and more strength and more strength through Jesus. And the devil can't take it because it's sealed there. But Thomas was there. He received the same power. He was devoted to Jesus. He really was. In John 11:16, just the story about Lazarus, when the disciples found out Jesus was going to go to Lazarus because Lazarus was sick unto death, they told him, don't go, because they were afraid that he would be stoned, because that was into an area that they weren't real happy with Jesus at that time. But Thomas was willing to go and die with him. So he was devoted to Jesus. But then he was also off sometimes a little slow to comprehend what Jesus was telling them. And I can understand that one. Sometimes I'm really slow at comprehending. But in John 14:1, where Jesus had told them, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas says unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest." Or, "We don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way?" He missed the whole concept of what Jesus was talking about there. It was a little slow to understand sometimes. But then also, I don't know if you've noticed, Thomas was absent. He was kind of missing there when Jesus appeared after the crucifixion and the resurrection. You know, Jesus came and appeared to the disciples and some of the others. But Thomas wasn't there, which caused him to doubt the resurrection. But then he was given indubitable evidence you couldn't doubt, which led him to his confession again, back to his confession again of Jesus. So he wasn't there. It doesn't say where he was. It just said he wasn't there. Let's look at John 20:18. I'm going to begin in verse 18 just to give you a little back history here. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Mary Magdalene was the one who went to the tomb. Jesus wasn't there, and then he appeared to her and they talked. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. These are the guys who received the power, who became the sent ones, but yet when it comes down to crunch time, they're locked in a room for fear. Wow, kind of makes me feel better about myself sometimes. If they struggled with it, okay, so I'm not that far off. But they were assembled for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." Now this was the Jesus who had been crucified in the tomb, and now he's resurrected walking on the earth. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad. Yay, we don't have to be afraid anymore. When they saw the Lord, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. I think that is so very, very gracious of the Lord that he walks in the room and he says, peace, meaning, okay, let's still all this fear, peace. And then he shows them his hands and his side, and, you know, and they're happy, happy, happy. But he still says, again, peace. Because he knew their hearts. He knew, okay, something still, I mean, you know, these guys are not totally at peace yet. Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Well, how did the Father send Jesus? Well, if we go back to the very beginning, as a friend of ours used to say, he was born at a very early age. If we go back to the beginning, when the angel spoke to Mary and said, the child that you are carrying is conceived of the Holy Ghost. Okay, so he entered the earth through the Holy Ghost. Okay, wow. Jesus left the side of the Father, was conceived through the Holy Ghost, came into the earth, and then as he was walking on earth, growing up, there were different passages of Scripture that talk about him doing something through the Holy Ghost or speaking by. If we look on in verse 22 of John 20, when he had said this, Jesus, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, I have seen times when there would be people getting prayed for, and it was not a Holy Ghost breath that knocked them out, but someone's very strong breath. You know, you see people kind of go, ooh, and that wasn't the Holy Ghost. It was like, ooh, mints, pass the mints, pass the mints, pass the mints. But Jesus breathed on them. This was more than just, he was transferring something to them and told them, receive the Holy Ghost. Well, now, wait a minute. I thought everybody got the Holy Ghost in Acts. Well, just hang on. But he spoke to them after he breathed on them, said, receive the Holy Ghost. So he is obviously transferring something else here for them to receive. Because he tells them, receive this. You want this. You really want this. You need to receive the Holy Ghost. Now remember, Thomas is not there. He's missing. Verse 23. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now wait a minute, Lord. You're telling us, receive the Holy Ghost. Don't you know they're waiting for some outward manifestation of something they're supposed to receive? But then in the same sense, they have to be thinking back, no, we received the power by faith, and Jesus is a faith man, because he did say, Mark 11:22, have faith in God, have the God kind of faith. And that's what you have to receive power from Jesus. That's what you have to receive the Holy Spirit from Jesus. So I guess this is another faith move. Yeah, I just see those disciples standing there. Yeah, well, it worked last time. We're going to receive by faith the Holy Ghost. Now, and then he goes on and says, but whosoever sins you remit. What? Why are you talking about people's sins when you just told us to receive the Holy Ghost? Let me read you that verse in the Message translation. If you forgive someone's sins, they're gone for good. If you don't forgive sins, what are you going to do with them? If we remit sins, if we forgive sins, they're gone for good. But if we retain, if we hang on to them, what are we going to do with them? Well, the only thing we do is we carry them around. Well, I don't like Brother Ron, you know?
Nobody does.
Because he hurt my feelings. It's just... You know, the whole time going, ah, good to see you, Brother Ron. Good to see you. Yeah, it's good to see you. Mm-hmm. I wish he hadn't have said that about me. I wish he hadn't. I know he probably thought he was joking, but that offended me. I'm just, what are you doing with him? You're carrying him around. Remember, we've talked in the last few weeks. Know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? There is no room in there to carry around your sins and everybody else's. If the Holy Ghost is to be received, you got to let go of some stuff. And that's offenses, that's grudges, that's revenge. You know, we have to let go of all those things because that, you know, if we don't, that's what's in our temple. And even though the Holy Spirit is there wanting to be with us and is there, if we are hanging on to sins, offenses, and grudges, it's kind of hard for us to hear what he's saying to us. It's like we push him to the back room of the temple, actually just going out in the courtyard there, because I got this stuff that I'm carrying around. I don't have time to hear from you. Yeah. Unforgiveness will really push the Holy Spirit to the back courtyard. Let's don't hang on to sins like that. Then verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. What? Thomas was not with them. I don't know where he was. Don't have a clue. Couldn't find any clues to say where he was at. But he wasn't with them. He wasn't there when Jesus breathed on them and gave them something greater than just the power that he had endued into them in the beginning. He wasn't there. He missed it. Do you know how many times we miss the move of God because we aren't there? Physically or spiritually. You know, sometimes things can be just, you know, the Lord moving mightily and things are happening and miracles and signs and wonders. And we're sitting back going, yeah, that'll probably last about a week, you know, time they get back out. Yeah, they'll be picking that cigarette back up again. Yeah, this is, you know, we're not there. Do you know when people are being prayed for in the church, in the house of God, we need to be there. We don't need to be spectators. We need to be participators. Because what we sow, we reap. And if somebody up here is needing a healing, I'm going to pray for them. Because I'm going to need to reap some healing sometime. And if I haven't sown anything, you know, it's just a principle. You reap what you sow. So we shouldn't be spectators. We should be participators. Amen. When it comes time to pray for people. And in any situation, not just at church. But Thomas wasn't there. He missed the move of God. So he was walking in a completely different mindset than the others. Going on in verse 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." They're all excited. "We've seen him, yes." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Oh my. Don't ever make that statement about something God is doing. "I just don't believe that. I don't believe that's right. I just can't see how that. I can't see." We're looking through the flesh instead of through the heart of God. Don't ever say, "I will not believe something that God is doing." That's dangerous territory. Verse 26, "And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and this time Thomas was with them." Yay, he finally got there physically. "Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace be unto you.'" This is three times Jesus has to walk in and say, "Peace, peace." Sometimes we just need to speak peace into situations. "Then saith he to Jesus, 'Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side.'" He said, "Listen, here's your proof. Look, see the holes in my hands. You stick your hand in my side. You know, right where they just thrust me through. Stick your hand in there. You'll see." But then he says a very, very key statement. "And be not faithless." Be not faithless, but believing. Thomas had doubted the whole resurrection thing because he wasn't there. He didn't see. He missed that move of the Lord. You know, and let me just encourage us. Playing flip-flop with whether we go to church or not is not a game. If we flip-flop and say, "Okay, I'm going this time because so-and-so's speaking, but I'm not going next time because so-and-so's speaking," and, you know, we miss the move of the Lord. Let's be consistent in our commitment to the Lord. Be consistent in it. Because if we flip-flop, if we're up and down, in and out, we become faithless. Less. And it's harder to believe. Yeah. I know, and I've done this too. I'm guilty too, of being so checked out. I can, you know, be sitting here in church week after week after week and just be checked out. You know, that's easy to happen. And the devil loves to get us to do that, to just get us to check out, zone out. You know, even though our heads are going, yeah. Do you know we get into that? We get a habit that our body's getting to, and we're sitting there going. You know, what if the preacher just said, "Hey, we're going to bomb Rainsville," because we're checked out. You need to be listening to what the people of God are saying. You know, don't be, because you're agreeing. You're agreeing with that. You know, we had a guy tell us the story of something that I think actually did happen because they named the name of the church, big church. And a guy toward the, leaned back toward the back a little ways, could not stay awake. He just could not stay awake. He was nodding off, and then there, you know, and he'd jerk up, "Mm-hmm, amen, amen." And then he'd be going back down again. Finally, the gentleman beside him got tired of it because he knew he was missing a really good word. And so he just elbows him and says, "Hey, yeah, yeah, pastor wants you to dismiss service." He stands up and starts dismissing service. Pastor's still preaching. He was checked out. We were told that to be true, that it actually happened. So You don't want to miss the move of the Lord. Don't nod off. Somebody will be elbowing you, say, hey, I want you to do something. You know, yes. Not have a clue what's been going on. Don't check out when you come to church. Now, I know we're really bad, and I am, oh my goodness, my husband fusses at me all the time because for some reason, I cannot get everything done on a Saturday night. And I end up staying up and staying up. I went to bed at 2:30 this morning because I had so much to do. And that's become a very bad habit. And the man of silence speaks. He says, amen. But there's so much to be done. And you know, and I did all this today, and I still have this, and I got to do this. And you know, that's a bad habit. That's priorities out of order. Now, sometimes things do happen, and we end up staying up later. But I don't think I'm the only one that does that. Because if you ever have opportunity to stand up here and speak, you'll see this all over the room. Everybody fighting. I'm guilty. I am so guilty of that. So that tells me, one, I'm not eating right. I'm not getting enough sleep. I'm not exercising right because my metabolism is not working right. I've got some bad habits here. See, what was the last thing I ate? Oh, yeah, it was an ice cream and a root beer. Oh, can't do that again late at night. Do you know, all of that weighs on us come Sunday morning. And then we wonder why we missed the move of the Lord. Well, why were all those folks up there jumping and dancing? And they were so excited on the stage and everything. And I'm going, oh. We need to change some habits. Sorry, that was a little soapbox Lord got onto me about this morning. Don't be faithless. Stay connected to what the Lord is doing. Stay connected. And then because Jesus gave Thomas proof. He has this great revelation. And it says in verse 28, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Yes, it is you. Yeah, it's this great revelation. But he missed the move the first time. Wow, that will talk to us. Now, I'm going to stop right there. But we need to think about, you know, what do we need to do to make sure we don't miss the move of the Lord? And there are a lot of practical things that I just mentioned that I'm going to take this recording and probably play back to myself several times so that I stop that bad habit of not getting everything done in time. But you know, there are some spiritual things we can do also. If we stay in the Word, which Thomas was with the Word, because Jesus was the Word, Thomas was with him, but yet he still missed a move of the Lord when the Lord gave them the Holy Ghost. Now, if you wanted to go on and look at Acts, where it says, and the Holy Spirit fell on them, you know, with tongues of fire, you know, that was the manifestation of what he had given them. Plus, there were many other people there who got it for the first time because they received that day when he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. They received. Now, I've wondered, did Thomas catch up with them? Or did he have to wait till the day of Pentecost? I got a feeling he might have had to wait. He may have. But there is so much about to be happening around here, and it's already been happening. And I know that, you know, we can look around and say, well, there's a lot of empty chairs over there, and, you know, it's kind of sparse here. But do you know, there are so many things happening in the Spirit right now that if you can believe it, I'm reaching a place that I'm so overwhelmed, I'm just going quiet. Yes, that does happen. That is a miracle. I can go quiet. But there are so many things that the Lord is doing. And I just stand in amazement, and because I know it's only God. Man couldn't have done what's happening. Only God. I don't want us to miss the move of the Lord. I don't want us to check out. I want us to stay faithful, not faithless. That means hang out with the Word. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Listen to what God our Father is saying to us, because it fills us with faith, so that when something starts happening, we know it. Oh, that's a move of the Lord. I'm not missing this one. I am going to receive what's happening. You guys, I am so excited about what's already happened. I really am. I am so excited. But I am overwhelmed at what's about to hit this mountain. Amen. Yep. And I'm not just talking right here. This is just a part of God's plan. But I'm talking about this entire mountain. There was, a ladies' meeting last night at the Fife Church of God. It was very good. But there was a prophecy came out to them, to the ladies there, about what was about to explode in that house. I pray they received it, because it's a part of what God is doing on this mountain. There are other churches that I'm hearing still that are having revival, that it's just like shaking under the ground. You feel it. It's right there about to happen. Every denomination I'm hearing, hey, did you hear that so-and-so church got a Spirit-filled pastor? Spirit-filled pastors don't usually go to those kind of churches. God is doing things. He really is on this mountain. Don't miss the move of the Lord by being absent. Stay with it. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I give you glory. I give you honor. Father, we're here to receive from you, Lord. We're here to receive from your presence. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. And I thank you that your word is being fulfilled, not just in this house, but across this mountain. Thank you, Lord God, that you are setting up. Woo, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Yes, he is setting up some things into motion. He is setting up some things in order. Wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, God. Lord, I thank you for a fresh outpouring. A fresh outpouring, Lord. A fresh outpouring. Lord, we don't want yesterday's outpouring. We don't want stale outpouring. We want fresh outpouring, Lord, of your Spirit, your presence, your miraculous, wonderful love, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just ask that the breath, the wind, the spirit of revival that's coming, blow on us. Release a fresh outpouring, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus.